Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. I'm your host and narrator, Wayne Anderson, and in this podcast I read from my personal collection of unpublished stories for your listening pleasure. This week does mark the beginning of a new longer story titled The Hell Conduit. I hope you guys enjoy it, because there's certainly a lot more of it to come. Before we get started, this episode is sponsored by Orange Hat Film Productions. Please go check them out and follow at Orange Hat Film Productions on Instagram. They're building an awesome community of filmmakers and film fans interested in learning more about Orange Hat behind the scenes, new and old projects, and the crew and cast involved in bringing their films from script to screen. You can find more on www.orangehatfilmproductions.com, and I highly suggest you go check them out. Without any further ado, here we go. Chapter 1. Jake awoke with a start, breathing heavily, with sweat running down his face. The images of the nightmare already fading into the back of his mind, like they always did. He remembers the flames, though. It seemed there were always flames in his nightmares. It seemed there were always nightmares. Never dreams of chasing a bunny through a field, or dreams of a sexual experience that would never happen in real life. His fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Harmon, was a guest star in a lot of his dreams when he was younger. But instead, hell. He stopped trying to guess what the dreams meant a long time ago, but he knew the flames were hell. They had to be, with the way he woke up on the verge of screaming or crying almost every night. Regular flames wouldn't scare him. This was hellfire, all right. He walked to his bathroom to splash his face with cold water, and realized that his heart rate had already gone down to a pretty healthy, calm thud-thud. Jake remembered the first couple years that he started getting them, sitting in his bed upright, clinging to a pillow desperately with all of the lights on, rarely able to get back to sleep. His parents had told him on numerous occasions that they couldn't see how he was ever going to live on his own if he couldn't sleep in the dark. Of course, eventually, the dark scared him less, the dreams haunted him less, or maybe he had just gotten used to them. And his parents had died in a car crash when he was 18, forcing him to grow up quicker than he was ready for. He likes to think they'd be proud to know he had a place of his own and could now sleep in the dark. A job, a girlfriend, all the things that his father thought he would never have because he was too different. He doesn't let the nightmares control his life like he used to, like he did when he was growing up. He had learned to just accept the fact that they would never go away, and he had gotten used to them. So far, he's been doing pretty well. Turning the bathroom light on, he startles himself. He doesn't know where the blood on his hands had come from, but he knew he had to wash it away. Nothing would ever make him get used to the fact that sometimes, along with the dreams, Jake would wake up bloodied. It scared him. He was afraid of what it meant. Because after all, he never had any cuts upon waking, or a source on himself from which the blood could have come from, leaving the logical assumption that it was someone else's blood. And that was what scared him. He hopped in the shower and washed the blood off and away. It spiraled, going down the drain, hypnotizing him, making him glad that he was content enough to not ask questions and try his best to live a normal life. Jake dries off and hangs his towel back on the rack next to his shower. He looks at himself in the mirror, naked. He'd always been self-conscious without any real reason. He knew he was a decently attractive man. He had curly, dark brown hair, kept short, a fine physical build that he had never had to work for in his life, and of course an average penis size. So why does he look at himself in the mirror and always feel such repulsion, like he's looking at someone else? something else. It isn't human at all, but a grotesque deformity of what may have once been human, but is certainly no longer. It boils down to more than that odd sensation of looking at someone else in the mirror, though. There was something more. A deep, underlying feeling that he could never be loved. After all, everything that he had ever loved had vanished like so much dust in a strong wind. Except for Lydia, currently, and he didn't expect their relationship to last much longer than a few months. Because, well, they never had before. Putting his pajamas back on, he wonders what tomorrow will bring. When every night consisted of a nightmare, the next day usually seemed like a bright, shining beacon of hope at the end of a long, black tunnel. He thinks of Lydia and knows that tomorrow will be better. It always is with that woman. But he can't help but wonder once again how long that may last. He's already let the nightmares fall to the back of his mind, letting more happy thoughts take the forefront. He's gotten so used to this that he climbs back into bed and falls asleep almost instantly, and gets the relief of no fire for the rest of the night, but simple, cooling blackness instead. Chapter 2. Large coffee, 2 milk, 2 sugar, please.
Coming right up.
Oh, and I almost forgot. Can I also get a medium coffee, black, and also a... Jake hears the little bell on the door ring as it gets opened, and Lydia, looking beautiful as ever, walks in. The coffee shop seemed like a very drab place before, and suddenly, to Jake, it seems like heaven. She walks quickly across the floor to Jake, planting a kiss on his left cheek before drawing back and saying,
"You forgot what kind of donut I like again, huh?"
Jake glances over at the cashier, who, along with Lydia, has a grin on her face, before looking back at her and blurting out, glazed something. Shit. Yeah, I forgot.
Aw, you're so cute when you're flustered.
She turns to the cashier and says,
"Sour cream glazed donut, please."
The cashier hands them the coffees and donuts, and they walk over to one of the corner tables where they always sit. They've only been dating a few weeks, but about a week in, Lydia suggested they meet up for coffee before they both head off to work, and Jake agreed. It has now become a part of their daily routine, and he couldn't be happier. He loves spending time with her, and it seems as if she does too. He can't figure out why, of course. She's a beautiful woman. Smart, funny, long dark hair, green eyes. Pretty much everything he'd always wanted in a girlfriend, or wife. Jake, on the other hand. Well, he counted himself lucky, and he planned to enjoy the relationship as long as he could before it, too, disappeared. They sit down, and Lydia begins nibbling on her donut and sipping at her coffee. He starts to drink his own coffee, wondering why he couldn't remember the simple name of a donut. They've been here so many times in the last couple weeks, and they always got the same things, and...
"You're scowling,"
Lydia says, giggling lightly and smiling at him.
"What's up?"
"Oh," Jake says. Never being a good one at articulating, he tends to stumble over his sentences sometimes, mostly when he's around girls, and this embarrassed him greatly, and got worse as he got nervous. "Oh, I was just, the donut thing."
"Damn, stop it, Jake. You know I can't resist it when you get all awkward."
"Stop it," he says, fighting the blush that is no doubt blooming on his cheeks.
"Relax, you know I'm just teasing."
She looks at him, smiling, but her smile fades a little as she continues.
"Seriously, though, relax. We're new. This is new, and it's okay to be nervous and forget what kind of donut I like, okay?"
"Okay." 15 minutes later, after a bunch of small talk and coffee drinking and some donut nibbling, he walks her to her car and then kisses her through the window after she's gotten in. He waves and looks after her as she drives away, smiling. Then she calls after him before pulling out of the parking lot.
"Oh, by the way, it's Friday, Jake. I'm staying at your place tonight. Deal with it."
He continues to smile and wave as she pulls out onto the street, but inside his heart is racing. He knew this had to happen. In fact, he wanted it to. However, girls can be turned off by being woken up in the middle of the night with a screaming, thrashing man beside them. It had certainly driven girls away before. There was nothing he could do about it, though. It was as good a relationship test as any. If they couldn't handle his nightmares, there was no way he could ever marry them. Simple as that. I guess this had to happen sooner or later, he thinks, getting into his car. Let's just hope I don't wake up with any blood on my hands tonight. He starts his car and drives to work, something he never minds doing because he works in a music store, and most days consist of decent people and good music. He's assistant manager and his boss is the manager and owner. No family or friends, so Jake suspects that when he dies, God forbid, the store will go to him. Not that he would ever ask. Pulling into his parking space a few minutes later, his heart sinks a little bit, seeing Mel in a screaming match with a few customers. Good old Mel, thinks Jake, as he steps out of his car, takes a deep breath, and walks into the store. Chapter 3. What the hell is going on here? Jake says upon entering Mel's Metal, the store where he spent most of his time. Get these kids out of here, Jake, man, Mel says, calmly, as if he wasn't just screaming. And this isn't the first time Mel had turned down business. He seems to do it more and more to the kids that come into the store looking for old rock or metal. They start asking for bands like AC/DC and Kiss, and Mel loses it. This is a new rock store. I don't listen to that old shit, he'd say, which more often than not would start heated debates between him and the customers. They'd say, nobody's ever been better than so-and-so. And Mel would say, those old men had no talent at all compared to bands nowadays, man. And it only ever escalated from there. You fucking started it, you old bastard, one of the kids yells. 13 or 14, but no older than that, Jake thinks. Got a mouth on him. Alright, you heard him, boys. Skedaddle. Whatever. Asshole. One of the boys said as they walked away. Mel turns to Jake and says a little sheepishly, sorry, Jake, man. Just can't help it sometimes. Hate those old so-called metal bands. The world has evolved, man. Look to the future, not to the past. You know what I mean, Jake, man? Jake smiled. He couldn't help it. Mel was one of the most stubborn people Jake had ever met, but that was part of what made him so great. There was also the fact that he was perpetually stoned. Overall, though, he was a nice guy, selfless, humble, just really opinionated about his music. You could never be mad at the guy, unless he disagreed about music, but for the most part, even though Jake mostly agrees anyways, he finds it's easier to just nod along and go along with what he says. This band sucks? Okay, Mel. These guys don't? You got it, Mel. It was pretty easy to do, really, like talking to a relative on the phone. A lot of uh-huhs and not much else. Still, Jake felt strongly for the old man. He was the only type of father figure that he'd ever really been present in his life since his parents died. Yeah, future, not past. Got it, Jake says, offhandedly, thinking of Lydia and how tonight might be the night for all of it to end. As if reading his mind, Mel says, while shuffling through some CDs looking for one he felt like listening to, so, Jake, man, how's What's-Her-Face? Is that still a thing? It might not be much longer, but yeah, we're still a thing. And your name's Lydia, Mel. Jesus. How many times do I gotta tell you? Mel looks up from the stack of CDs he's holding and lets the reading glasses he sometimes wears slip to the end of his nose. Lydia. Right. So you mean the whole dream thing, right, man? Relax, she'll be cool, Jake, man. He goes back to scanning CDs, most likely zoned out entirely from the conversation, but Jake answers and continues anyways. They're nightmares, not dreams, but yeah. She wants to spend the night, and that's never gone well before. I just don't want to freak her out and lose her. Shocking Jake, who was sure that Mel was half asleep this morning and barely paying attention at all, as was the Mel way. Mel says, "Just tell her half-truths, man, like you do with me," without even looking up from the CDs that he was still mulling over. Jake opens his mouth, starts to speak, and then closes it, not knowing exactly what he was going to say. Of course he's right, he thinks. I've told them about the dreams, but only vaguely. Even Mel can see that there are things that I'm keeping inside. Things I haven't told anyone about. Like the blood. Not much I can do about it, though. It's a part of me, and seemingly, unfortunately, always will be. I've come to terms with them. It's another thing entirely to try and get someone else to come to terms with them. I think I finally found something I want to listen to, Jake, man. Here, throw this in. And don't worry about what's her face, man. Maybe this one's the one. Chapter 4. Maybe this one is the one. Jake keeps hearing Mel's words spoken over and over in his head until he feels like he's going to go insane. But Mel was right, of course. Because after all, he did say maybe. He didn't say, "This one is the one, man." Jake would like to think that he would love to believe in love. But of course, he had never truly experienced it for himself. He wasn't even entirely sure it existed. And any time he's gotten close, it always ends. Because after all, no woman wants a man who is obviously so psychologically damaged. Well, actually, some of them do, Jake thinks to himself while he drives home. Some girls get a kick out of nutcases. The whole fix them angle. But Jake didn't think he could be fixed. And besides, he wanted someone to love him for who he is, damaged and all. He wouldn't want to be in a relationship where the sole purpose was for him to change. He didn't want to change. He likes himself the way he is. Well, except for the nightmares, of course. And the blood. He drives, keeping his eyes locked on the road ahead of him. But his mind is elsewhere. Thinking of could-haves, should-haves, and would-haves. There were too many to count. He realizes during the drive that those don't matter now. What matters is that he takes advantage of the things that present themselves next. Make sure that his could-have, should-have, and would-have list didn't get any bigger. Thinking of past missed chances and of impending future ones, driving at a leisurely pace, Jake arrived at a stop sign a few minutes from his house. Waiting there, he notices a man on the sidewalk. Black suit, black shoes, black tie, black hat. As strange as this was, it wasn't the all-black outfit that caught his eye. After all, he mostly wears black himself. But rather the horns protruding from the hat, rising at least a foot above his head before they curve downwards in a way similar to a mountain goat. Jake tried not to, but he stared at the man, unable to grasp what was right before his eyes. Surely it couldn't be a man with horns, but as much as he blinks and rubs his eyes and slaps his face once or twice, the man remains, walking casually down the street. Jake seemed to be the only one to take notice, which puzzles him slightly. How could you not spare a second glance at a man with horns? Jake does one more double take, a triple take, he supposes, deciding that he's probably just seeing things for whatever reason. Just as he's about to drive off, the man notices him. Notices Jake noticing him. Smiles and waves him over, beckoning to him from the sidewalk. Lifting out his hand and curling his index finger inwards in a way that most women would use to be provocative. It seemed quite sinister coming from the man in black, but nonetheless, Jake feels almost compelled to go to him and pulls into the nearest space on the side of the road. He parks his car and locks the doors before he strides curiously over to the man with the horns. And that's it for this week. Thank you everybody so much for listening. Please remember to subscribe if you haven't. Part 2 of The Hell Conduit will be coming sometime next month, so stay tuned. Thank you to Orange Hat Film Productions for sponsoring the show. Please go check them out. I hope you liked the beginning of this story, because there is a lot more to come. And until next time, have a good one.